Hello and welcome to the Avanti Entrepreneur Show. Hello, Avanti listeners. I am Dave Mamano, your host, and we're here to help achievers and business owners and leaders move forward. That's what Avanti means in Italian. It means move forward so that they can reach their potential, so that you can reach your potential. And today on the show, I have someone who can massively help you reach your potential. No pressure, Jill, but I have a great guest. I've known her for a number of years. I don't know how long, but I've at least I want to say 5-6 years, if not longer. And actually, I'm going to tell the story how I know you, Jill, so I hope you don't mind. But so I have on the show today, Jill Niddle. Jill, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You know, I am fantastic. I'm so excited to have you on the show as one of my early guests on my new radio show. And what's cool is, you know, certainly it's on the radio at noon, but we also record it. So this will be archived for the ages. How do you like that?
That's wonderful.
Yep. So I'm super psyched. So Jill, I'm going to read your biography so people get to know you a little bit more. And then we're going to dig into some questions. How's that sound?
Sure.
All right. So Jill Niddle is the president of JK Executive Strategies, and she specializes in executive level retained search and executive onboarding for her client companies. Jill has developed a proven methodology and discipline that she follows for every search, resulting in clear expectations, timelines, and communication throughout each engagement. Prior to launching JK Executive Strategies, Jill spent 2 years as a financial advisor and partner with the Parker Burke team at Sage Ruddy and Company. Before joining Sage Ruddy in 2015, Jill was the president and co-owner of ER Select and the COO of ER Associates. Her responsibilities included overseeing all activities for all product lines and companies on a regional and national basis. ER Associates family of companies provides executive and professional search outplacement and career development services, as well as a lot of other staffing and other solutions. With 20 years of experience in direct hire and retained search, she has completed successful searches, including nationally retained searches for CEOs, executive directors, CFOs, VPs of finance, VPs of M&As, general counsel, VPs of human resources, amongst others. She has also served on several higher education search committees, including those for provost, deans, and president. So a lot of the big wigs. That's pretty cool. Jill has completed a Master of Business Administration and Bachelor of Science Accounting at St. John Fisher. And she was a recipient of the Rochester Business Journal's prestigious 40 Under 40 Award in 2006 and a finalist on the Women's Council Athena Award in 2014. If that wasn't enough, Jill is also a committed member of the community. She's on the board of trustees at St. John Fisher, and she also was a recipient of the – oh, I'm sorry. I'm going back. There's so much here, Jill. I'm sorry. She also is on the audit committee chair and serves on the investment committee for St. John Fisher. She also serves on the School of Business Advisory Board and a founding member of the Duplessis – is that how you say it?
Duplessis
Wolf Accounting Society. And Jill has received the Dean's Medal from St. John Fisher in 2014. If that wasn't enough, Jill is also on the board of Bavona Child Advocacy Center and is the immediate past chairperson of the board of directors. She was the chairperson of Bavona's successful $5 million capital campaign and has recently led and successfully completed a search for Bavona's new executive director, which I know was not an easy task to replace Mary, right? Jill is a member of the Board of Governors for Hillside Children's Center. She's a member of the Development Committee for the CMAC Performing Arts Center in Canandaigua and is a member of the Women's Presidents Organization. And to top it all off, she's certainly dedicated to her work, but she also enjoys time with her family, which consists of a husband, Jim, a daughter, Jenna, and 3 Labrador Retrievers. Which we may want to note that they might be joining the conversation.
They may eventually. Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking to you from your home, and they're there, so the dogs may say hello, which is perfectly fine. We love dogs on the Avanti show here, so that's great.
That's great.
So Jill, I just talked a lot
A lot,
which is nothing new for me, as you know. But I want to have you kind of expand on that. So, you know, it's very exciting. I called you a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, and said, hey, Joe, I'm starting this new radio show, and I would love for you to be on it. Do you have anything, you know, any you know, ideas that you could talk about? And you're like, well, I'm starting a company. And so you had just started this new company, which is so exciting, taking all your years of experience and your expertise and connections and bottling it up into a great, great company, which we're very excited about. And want to, first of all, hear a little bit about that so far, being an entrepreneur. I know you're still young and fresh, but how does that feel? What was that? Maybe you could tell me what it was like going from really great job, making some really great money and having the security of a job to taking the leap to starting a business. And then, as always, I want to really get inside your head and share the nuggets of knowledge that you've learned through the years so that we can help our listeners about everything that you do when it comes to hiring the right people and retaining the right people and all that great stuff. So the floor is yours if you want to just start about, you know, that whole jump and tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I think that the most important thing that I've learned about myself over the last, say, month and a half since I've taken the leap into entrepreneurship is that I absolutely love what I do now. I love the energy I get from other people. I love search. I love executive search. I love human resource strategies. I love working with leaders of companies to find other leaders of companies. So I think that the fear of going out on my own and leaving a wonderful company like Sage Ready, it was there and it was evident. And it probably took me a little longer to make the leap because I had that comfort. But I think that the desire to do what I loved outweighed the fear that I had to be able to do it. So the only time that I really, I can't say the only time that I really ever thought about it, but probably over the last several months, it was my last day at Sage Ready. And I was walking out the door and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've really never quit another job without another job.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it is. It's scary and it's great. And I'll tell you what, I haven't looked back. So yeah.
It was definitely a great step.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, it's funny. So I started my first company back in 95 and I had a great job in radio sales. And but you know, I liked my boss. I just hated having a boss. I liked my job. I just hated having a job. And I decided I was going to start my first company, which was Next Step Magazine. And
yeah.
So, you know, I went into my mind, I had 2 weeks. So I gave my 2 weeks and I told them why. And they were like, oh, that's great. And then the big GM came in and he said, you know, Dave, listen, we're happy for you. And thanks for your 2 weeks. But, you know, salespeople, we don't like them to hang around. They always cause trouble. So you can just leave right now. Here's a box. And I'm like, oh. So I go clean my desk off. And then I'm at the old Midtown standing on Euclid Street, middle of January, freezing. And I'm with my box and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. One thing to think about starting a business, right?
Yeah.
And then when you're actually like, oh my God, I'm doing this, like the roller coaster. You got on the scary roller coaster, the bar came down, starting to move, and you're like, holy cannoli, what have I done? I actually signed up for this, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a great feeling. It's filled with anxiety and fear, but also a ton of excitement, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, hey, Joe, hold on 2 seconds. We have to take a quick break.
Join Fox News' Brian Kilmeade weekdays from 9 to noon on 1310 WOKR.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance.
Call to receive your free DVD videos and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited time offer. Call ThermoSpas today at 800-956-7179 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-956-7179. ThermoSpas, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7179 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-354-9157. That's 1-800-354-9157. Again, 1-800-354-9157.
Innovative Talk Radio, 1310 WOKR.
All right, welcome back. I am Dave Mamano. You're listening to Avanti Entrepreneur Show. And great show to help you, anybody really, about life, business. We focus on talking to business owners and entrepreneurs about their journey, lessons learned, and sharing it with you to help you move forward with your life. And that's what we're here for. So we are here today, again, with Jill Niddle, who is a semi-brand new business owner. Very, very exciting. Business called JK Executive Strategies. And helping companies find the right people to work. And we're gonna learn a little bit more about that from Jill. Jill, welcome back. Thank you for your insights so far. And so you were talking about really jumping off the cliff, having a secure job, starting your first business. And so it's been, you know, would you say a month, month and a half? Never look back, you said. That's great. What else? What opportunities, what challenges have you confronted so far?
I think the challenge that I've come across is that I don't have enough time in the day to meet with everybody who wants to meet with me. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, it's typical for recruiters to feel that way, because there's definitely a desire for people who are on the job search mode to want to connect face to face with recruiters. And I think so, I'm not somebody that says no a lot and feels good about it. So I've had to work on that and being able to say, hey, is it okay if we catch up on the phone instead of a face-to-face coffee meeting? Because I really don't think I can drink any more coffee.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's been great. It's been, I've had a lot of great meetings, a lot of new old faces, I guess I should say, who have come back into my life, which has been wonderful. And I think that the exciting thing is now that I love what I do again, it's hard to turn it off. So I tend to work way more than sorry about that. I have no idea why that's coming through.
Oh, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, great. Sorry about that. I got a little bit of status on my end.
Oh, you're good.
So for the most part, it's been wonderful, and I can't wait to get up in the morning every day.
That is awesome. You know, you're so involved with St. John Fisher, and you might appreciate this. So I go to St. Patrick's, my Catholic church here in Victor, and the message the other day from the priest was so powerful, and he basically said, you know, your job is to realize what your God-given talents are. And your God-given strengths, and use those to make the world a better place. And I was like, that's it. That is it. I mean, that you when you do that, you know, whatever faith you are, I mean, realize what your God-given talents are and use that to help other people. That will put you in the mojo, in the groove of life. And it seems like that's what you're doing. You know your strengths. You know what you do really well, your expertise. It gives you energy, so you want to do more of it. And you're helping business owners, you're helping people find great jobs and creating great fits. And so you just must be so incredibly excited about what you're doing.
I am. And, you know, it is that intrinsic reward that I get out of working with people, working with candidates, but also working with business owners. So I'm working on right now a CEO search. And this is it's for an organization that actually has a board of directors. So there's a search committee of the board. And that's a different type of search, because not only is it the president of the company, it's actually a retiring situation, that person's input, but it's the board that might not all have the same opinions about exactly what they're looking for in their next leader. So it's a great opportunity for me to be able to meet with the search committee to talk about what their expectations are, because I'll tell you, you know, a lot of people think that a search goes wrong towards the end when candidates are interviewing and things like that, and they might not end up with the best candidate. I would challenge people to think that a search actually goes wrong at the beginning, because there haven't been enough conversations about exactly what they're looking for in their next leader. And there's not an agreed upon skill set amongst all of the interviewers to be able to get to the end candidate that says this is him or this is her. So I think that, you know, backing up the search and making sure from an owner's perspective or a hiring manager's perspective and understanding exactly what that skill set is probably the most important part. And that's what I get to do every day, is really coach people who are hiring on how best to identify the skill sets they're looking for. So when it comes down to it, they're offering the job to the perfect candidate.
That is super fantastic. And, you know, when we had coffee a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you about a friend of mine, Jay Goltz, who was on my podcast a few weeks ago. And he was wonderful. And he talks about, you know, you talk to successful business owners and you say, what is the secret to your success? And most people will say, oh, it's the team. It's the team. You know, I mean, we couldn't do it without my people, right? It's the team. Mm-hmm. And then if you follow up with a question, okay, well, what training have you been through when it comes to hiring people?
Right.
And you could hear crickets. 9 times out of 10, probably 10 times out of 10, you hear crickets.
Yeah. And so often the mistake that I see companies make is they have people on interview teams who might have a stake or, you know, be a stakeholder in the position. So maybe a cross-functional manager or somebody else that will work with the person, but they really have never been taught or prepped on what the job is, who the candidate is. So many times, a candidate might be walking in the door for an interview, and the first time the interviewer is actually looking at the resume is right then. So there's not a lot of preparation that happens. And then everybody gets asked the same questions. Why did you move from job to job? And they don't tend to ask difficult questions. You know, for salespeople, for instance, I thoroughly believe that a salesperson should be able to rattle off what their last 3 years of quotas were and whether they exceeded them and what their numbers were. I mean, if somebody is as competitive enough to be in a sales role, they should know what their numbers are. But people don't ask that in interviews because they're socializing more than they are interviewing. And I think that that's one of the things that people who are not trained to interview, they tend to want to either hire people that look, talk, and act just like them, or they hire people that they think will be really great to work with because they seem really friendly and jovial enough to be able to go have a beer with.
Right. Yeah, not always the criteria to hire somebody from.
Right, absolutely.
Would I have a beer with this person? Yeah, let me hire him. There's probably a little bit more that you should be digging into.
and granted, most companies do, but there are definitely, you know, if it goes into, you know, the other challenge I see that companies make mistakes in is extending the interview process to be really, really long and arduous, and actually including people in the interview process that probably don't need to be included. So I think that, you know, especially for people who are working and interviewing on positions, having them leave work for 4 2-3 hour interviews is an awful lot of time to miss work. to be able to interview, and being able to streamline those interviews and making sure that you're making it easy for the people to interview, whether it be off hours or early in the morning or something like that, is something that, you know, a lot of companies should think about as well.
Yeah, there's a couple things there that you just said I want to ask you a little bit more about. So
sure.
You're totally right about the meetings. I mean, that not only goes with the interview meetings with too many people, but just meetings in general. You know, my friend Cameron Harold wrote a book called Meetings Suck. And
yeah.
His whole point was like, they don't have to suck. And his book tries to teach you how to not have sucky meetings. And so, because he says exactly that. Oftentimes in meetings, and you're saying interview meetings too, there's people that just don't belong. But, you know, maybe the CEO is there because it makes them feel better. They have more of the team. But when you add up those hours of those people, you know, I mean, you could be wasting, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars a year on these.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they don't need to be there, right?
And, And if you know, it's funny because sometimes companies will do group interviews and they'll do like the executive team in a group interview and it'll be an hour and a half. And to your point, that just cost the company $5,000 to have all those people in a meeting.
Yeah. And then and was it necessary?
With a candidate that might not even be a finalist.
And then what if the person quits 6 months from now? You got to start all over again with all those people, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the other thing you said is spending time. Now, you know, I have been in, I was in EO Entrepreneurs Organization for about 13 years. And one of the seminars and books that we were, you know, really was marketed to us was the book called Top Grading. And you read that book and, you know, you're putting these people through the ringer, right? I mean, there's like, you know, many, many long interviews. And it's almost like a test of will. Will this person go through all this? Have the endurance to get through this. And now what is your opinion about that? Having that type of level of intensity when it comes to interviewing?
You know, I think the intensity is okay. I think that people need to be put on the hot seat to be able to advance in their careers. I think that there's a few different ways though that companies can do it to be able to figure out who the person is. I always suggest that companies put an interviewee in a social setting to be able to see how they're going to represent your company when they're out in a social environment. So, you know, sometimes we'll have, you know, if I'll have a let's say a director person or a director candidate interview, and the company said, well, we would really like their team to interview them. I say, well, instead of having the team interview their boss, which can be a recipe for disaster, Let's have them go out in a social setting for a lunch or for a cocktail or something like that to be able to see how they mesh and, you know, be able. So it takes a little bit of that pressure off, if you will, but also allows them to be able to be evaluated and to kind of see how they'll work in that particular setting. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely not. No, I'm just kidding. That was fantastic. I like the cocktail idea because then you're going to go see if the guy or gal gets drunk, right? And you're like, all right, let's cross him off the list, right?
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many stories I have of that happening, of, you know, people just absolutely drinking way too much. So if you are somebody interviewing on a job, please have one drink.
Yeah.
That's all.
Can they handle their liquor, you know?
Yeah,
my grandfather always said, make sure you control the drink and that the drink does not control you.
Exactly.
I tended not to listen to that rule in my teens and early 20s, but I finally caught on after a while. So
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is awesome. So what are you know, if you were to talk to a CEO and you know, I don't want you to give away your secret sauce because obviously you want people to hire you, but what are maybe some of the top, you know, tips and advice that you would give CEOs when it comes to recruiting that you know, quote unquote, perfect fit for both, for the person and for the employer.
Right. I think the first thing that people tend not to do, because typically when a job is open, it means that there's a stressful situation. So somebody gave their notice, that's probably in a key position. Somebody's not performing, that's probably in a key position. So some of the positions I work on are confidential replacements, if you will. So the challenge that you run into as the CEO or as the leader in that situation is that you want to move as quickly as you can to be able to find somebody that fits.
Right.
But what that does is that that puts you kind of behind the eight ball, and it makes speed be more important than being thorough. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what I talked about in really understanding the job description, oftentimes when I sit down and a client gives me the job description that I'm hiring for, and I actually sit down and talk about what the job is doing, there's a lot of different things that are said than what's actually on the job description. So does it make sense to tweak the job description? Does it make sense to look at the reportable structures within the organization? Is there somebody internally that could fill a piece of the job to be able to give them upward mobility, but still have to fill the job with, you know, certain other specific traits? So I think spending time up front to actually sit, and it doesn't have to be a week, it can be 2 hours with somebody like me, but really making sure that you have a clear understanding of what the job is and what you're looking for. I think number two is being honest about what the job is. So sometimes I say to clients, tell me, after I place this person and I call to check in with them after 3 months, what are they going to say to me? Oh my gosh, you didn't tell me about this.
Right.
I need to know the good, the bad, and the ugly about a particular position to be able to fill it with the right candidate. Yeah. Because, you know, if I interview for problem solving skills and things like that, that's something that's going to come into play. And it's something that I can kind of, you know, vet out, I guess, as I'm going through the interview. So really making sure that you are honest about the position itself. If it's a really difficult position and a crappy position, it's important to say, hey, this is a tough job.
Yeah.
You know, I need somebody who's an athlete. I need somebody who's gonna take the good with the bad and really kind of, you know, drive this job because this is what it does for our company, but it's tough.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, honesty about the particular position is really important. And then,
Jill, I'm sorry. That's Jill, we're going to come right back. We got to take one quick break. We're going to hear more of your tips, and I'm going to tell our listeners how I met you.
Okay, sounds great.
All right.
Weekday evening, 6 to 9, it's Chad Benson. Join Chad for refreshingly different commentary on today's news on WOKR.
My mom's a breast cancer survivor. The United Breast Cancer Foundation saved her life. Their free breast cancer exam caught the cancer early, and it saved her life. But now the foundation needs your help so they can continue offering free or low-cost breast screening exams, saving more women's lives. Help them by donating your car, whether it's running or not. They'll provide fast, free 24-hour pickup, and you receive a charitable tax deduction, plus the great feeling you'll get knowing your donated car is going to help save more lives. Just call 800-515-3299 to set the wheels in motion. They take cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, running or not. Call 800-515-3299. The United Breast Cancer Foundation needs your help, and your donation could literally save women's lives, helping them catch breast cancer early like they did with my mom. Donate today. 800-515-3299. That's 800-515-3299.
If you or your family love the freedom of swimming any time of year, if you love sharing good times and making great memories, or if you want one of the best total body workouts ever, then it's time to discover the three C's of your very own endless pool. The first C is convenience. Imagine swimming year-round in your own private swimming pool, installed indoors or out, just steps away. The second C is comfort. With sculpted spa seats and your own adjustable temperature, you can easily escape the stress of your day. And the third C is cost. Your endless pool is an affordable luxury at a fraction of the cost of a regular pool. And here's a bonus C, choice. Because when you call for your free Endless Pool Idea Kit, you'll receive information on our full line of pools to suit your budget and location.
Call now for your free information, 800-281-4117. That's 800-281-4117.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions now. Call 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531. 800-311-6531.
Serving Canandaigua and Rochester's East Side. 1310 WOKR.
Okay, Avanti Entrepreneur listeners, we are back. Welcome to the show. And as you've hopefully been listening, we have Jill Niddle, who just started a new company called JK Executive Strategies. And what she does is she helps companies find the right people. And who to hire, does a lot of executive level resume writing and LinkedIn updating. So essentially, she is the great connector. And so Jill was giving us some of her secret sauce, some of her tips for people who are hiring people. So Jill, please continue and sharing the love with us.
Sure. Probably one more piece would be the onboarding piece. So my website, jkexec.com, has some stats about onboarding, but companies will hire a leader and then think, oh, well, they're a leader, they know what to do. But there are onboarding strategies for executives and leaders that are really, really important to follow to make sure that that person you just spent a ton of money and a ton of time on hiring is actually going to stick. And I think that that's something that I think companies get relieved. Oh, yes, that person accepted. Yes, that job is filled. And they move on to the next fire. But really being able to make sure that the CEO schedules time with that new person, or the leadership team schedules time with that person to make sure that they're acclimating into the environment the right way, and that they're feeling at home. Is so important, and it's something that companies just miss.
You know, it's funny you say that. So my first job out of college, and I got it. Sounds like I'm bragging, but I was totally that kid you wanted to hire, right? I was like, I graduated on a Saturday. My first job was on a Monday. I was interviewing all over New York State for during my senior year of college for the perfect job. And I went and bought the JCPenney suit and got it dry cleaned. I mean, I was like ready to go. And so I was super psyched, get up early Monday morning, have a nice breakfast and get to work. And, my first job, first day, and super pumped. And I walk in and my new boss walks up to me and he literally says, oh, yeah, you're starting today. And I just got deflated. I was like, what?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, there was no plan, right? Mm-hmm. Brought me over to an empty desk, gave me a phone book. I was in sales, right? I was, it was a local radio station, actually. And he gave me the phone book and hooked me up with some other salesperson there, and I spent the day with her. And the phone book started calling people, right? And so I did not feel welcomed. I did not feel loved. And, my bubble was burst from day one. I never got it right at that station. And then, so when I started my own company, I said, whenever I hire people, I am going to make them feel like a rock star. And, when I had my big company with the magazine there, we had the National Magazine, when we hired somebody, the first day, we had a breakfast, right, with the whole team, a welcome breakfast, right, little mini party. And we all go around the table and introduce ourselves and our role and how we work together. And then there was an agenda for a week orientation. Here's what you're doing all week. And part of it was meeting individually with everybody. training. Your business cards were done. You already had a business card, right?
Yeah.
Your email's set up. Your desk is there. And, you know, we wanted that person to go home to their significant other and to say, oh, my God, I love where I work. Isn't that
right? Yeah. I had one candidate get hired by a company, and it was a surprise that he showed up on his first day to them. And he literally sat in a conference room for the first week and a half with no computer and no phone.
Oh, my God. What did he do?
Quit.
Ah. I know. It's like unbelievable. And part of it is selfish. I mean, because you want the person to stay, right? You want to make them feel special. And, you know, the business card's done. The email's set up. You're ready to go. You get to meet everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I would take the person out to lunch on Wednesday of that week, you know. So, you know, the CEO of the company wants my feedback. That was great. And you want the support of the significant other. So when they go home, you know, you just continue to talk about how great work is.
Yes.
And that seems like a no-brainer to me, but it's amazing that
it's not. It's because business moves so quickly that people forget about how important those little things are. And I would even say onboarding, especially for leaders, goes, you know, much further. It has to go with, you know, it has to go around who are your stakeholders within the organization. Who can I introduce you to? Who should you have meetings with? Who should you have meetings with external to the organization that are important to our business?
Yeah.
All of those type of things that should happen. And there should be, you know, kind of a red carpet laid out for people to be able to understand, hey, you're part of us now.
Yep.
And this is how we move forward as a company and as an organization. And that just doesn't happen.
Yep. Should be welcome to the family, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
And they spent all this money and time in hiring the person, and then sometimes it just big flop to start out. It's unbelievable.
Oh, right.
So, yep. So Jill, I got to tell everybody how I met you. Do you mind?
No, that's okay.
So I got a keynote that I wrote in February for a speech I gave, and I included in there the characteristics of successful entrepreneurs. And one of the characteristics in there is being open to feedback. And I learned that lesson from you. And you didn't even mean to give it to me, but you did, and I took it. So when you were working for Sage Ready, this previous job, we got them to be a sponsor at one of our Avanti summits. And so I'm talking to the CEO and Wayne, and we, you know, so Wayne agreed to do a sponsorship, had the event. And it was my first event, right? My first event I ever did. And, you know, I thought it went pretty well. I said, well, you know, we could tweak some things, but I was pretty psyched about it. Until I heard back from Wayne. You laugh about it now, right? So I emailed Wayne and I said, Wayne, just getting feedback, always trying to get better. What did you think of the event? And he said, well, you know, I thought it was pretty good, but I was only there for a little while because I had some things going on. Let me ask someone who also came from my company, who's done a lot of experience with events, and I'll get some feedback from her and pass it on to you. So next day, I get an email back from Wayne. It was a copy and paste of what you had responded to Wayne. And, you know, and it was we'll say it was tough love. How does that sound? So it was like, you know, my favorite one was a granola bar doesn't count as breakfast. You know, there were some logistics.
Coming from the foodie that I am, right?
Yeah, I know. You want a little Eggs Benedict, but, you know, and you know, the timing and the agenda wasn't clear, logistics, you had some advice about that. So there was a lot of other stuff. But my first reaction was, like anything, I got defensive and I'm like, what the heck? I mean, I work so hard and this is what I hear. And it wasn't that bad. And that's normal, right? Everybody, like, you know, you get feedback
of
like
course.
That, you get a little defensive. And then I said, you know what? Why don't I like put my big boy pants on and really take this for what it is and its feedback on how I could have even a better event next time. Like essentially, this woman, let's call her Jill, is telling me of what I need to do better the next event that I have. So the next day, you know, I called you and I said, hi, Jill, Dave Amato, Wayne passed on your feedback. Thank you. Would love to take you out to breakfast to pick your brain and learn a little bit more. And you graciously said yes. And so we went out to breakfast at Hicks and McCarthy's. And
yep.
We spent a long time there. I remember it was like a good hour and a half. And I brought my notepad. And I just said, let me have it. And I took, you know, at least two pages of notes nonstop. And then my second event I had, my second Avanti Summit at the Strathallan, I got to tell you, it was incredible. And mostly it was just the logistics. And that's what you helped me iron out, was like the logistics. I always had good speakers, but I never, you know, hey, being a manic serial entrepreneur myself, I'm never good at the details and operations part of it, the logistics part, and that's where you came in. And so we had a better breakfast. Thank you very much.
We
the
sure
agenda
did.
Was very clear. The timing was clear. The logistics were clear. I had so much great feedback on that conference. In fact, I just met with somebody last week who, again, complimented me. He said that was the best conference he's ever been to. And yeah. I was like, oh, my God. And not only did you give me great advice, you ended up being a sponsor of that event. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And you gave me a referral for a sponsor.
I did.
So thank you many, many times. But the lesson there, folks, is be open to feedback, because instead of getting all frustrated and shutting down, I embraced Jill. I embraced the feedback and I learned a ton and even got some sponsors from it. So that was a great lesson for me that now is in my keynote speech. So thank you on many, many different levels.
You're very welcome. And kudos to you for being able to. I hope I was kind.
You were. You were kind. Yeah, but whenever you're reading stuff like that, it doesn't come across as kind. But, you know, rereading it 3 days later, you're like, all right, it wasn't that bad. You know, I mean, you weren't mean about it. You were tactfully candid. How's that sound?
And I hope that others would be with me as well. So
absolutely.
That's good. We have to help each other in this world.
Well, I'm imagining your husband's got to be perfect by now. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
That is, I haven't met him, but I have to meet this perfect man someday. I appreciate that. So we got about, you know, five more minutes here, Jill. And I want to just ask you to, you know, you've been very successful over the years and, you know, in all that you do, your personal life, you know, the volunteer activities that you do, the boards, I mean, the stuff, the raising $5 million for Bavona, finding the replacement for the great Mary Whittier, which was no easy task, very tough shoes to fill. St. John Fisher, everything that you're doing, plus the business has been very successful, and now your own. You must have some strategies for success. Are there some habits of success, some rhythms in your day, your week that you do to really, you know, increase the chances of you being successful every day?
Yes. There are. And it's interesting because, first of all, I can't say enough about my husband. We've been married about 15 years now. And so being able to have somebody who supports you and knows you, like, you know, he knows me, he knows who I am, he knows the energy that I have. So he lets me be me, which is probably, you know, three quarters of the battle, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
I also... sounds crazy, but I get up at 4:30 and I work out in the morning. I either go running or I go to the gym. And I find that spending that time on myself and getting my head clear and know what's going on in that morning time is really starts my day off on the right foot, and being able to kind of give myself the energy I need to be able to do what I need to do for the rest of the day. I think the other thing is that I am always my true self. So I don't think that you'll go to an event with me at one place and see me in an event at another place that I'm not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So I really try to bring my best self in everything that I do and my same self, I guess, if you will. So there's, you know, there's a lot to that. And I think a lot of people really, really who know me and who have worked with me on boards and things like that, or have worked for me, know that, I follow one guideline all the time, and it's do what you say and say what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter knows that her rules are to always try and never lie.
That's good. That's good.
So those are a little of the world that I live in. And honestly, I just try to do the best I can, and I'm just lucky.
Yep.
Lucky to be where I am right now.
Well, you know, you make your luck happen, right? So, and I love that you get up at 4:30. I'm starting to get up earlier too, and I think it's age. I'm just waking up, and I'm like, all right, I'm wide awake. I'm getting up, and you know, I'm sure you've heard the wise saying from Ben Franklin: early to bed, early to rise makes a woman wealthy, wealthy and wise, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
So 4:30. So what time do you go to bed?
I was just going to say, don't ask me what time I go to bed. Actually, I'm usually in bed by 9:30, lights out at 10.
Yep.
So my friends that text me at 11 o'clock at night, they know that they're not going to hear from me. And I on purpose try not to text them when I wake up in the morning.
That's a good idea. We talked about this before, is that you set the expectation, right? If you answer emails right away and if you answer texts right away, people are going to expect that you are always on and that you always, you know, respond to them right away. And then when you don't, they're like, where are you? Ah.
Right.
But if you just respond when it's convenient for you, then they get that expectation set up as well.
Absolutely. And then you can be more present, and deliberate about where you're spending time and, you know, what you're doing.
Excellent. So, Jill, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but favorite books.
Oh, I will tell you, the book that I've probably read with at least four or five of my teams is The Speed of Trust. And that is, that's a book that actually I've done lunch and learns. I've read with new teams, old teams, teams that are merging together, because it talks about how to build trust and what a trust bucket is. Mm-hmm. So that by far is probably my favorite business book that I have it dog leafed and marked up. And it's my favorite business book. Personally, I'm always reading some type of mystery, something like that. Some type of
Nancy Drew type of stuff.
Not Nancy Drew, but you know, something like that. Something to kind of keep my mind off of having to work. But I don't read as much as I would like to.
Yeah, you and me both. I love to read, but finding the time to read is very difficult. That's what I'm doing first thing in the morning, is I'm trying to read a little bit, and then I work out. So.
Yeah.
But this morning I didn't, because I woke up at 3 a.m. and I fell back asleep until 5:30. So I didn't have enough time to do everything I wanted to do.
Well, my grandmother would say then your body needed it.
My body needed it. And tomorrow's another day, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, Jill, before we go, if people want to get in touch with you, I have your email here. Is it okay if I give it out?
Sure.
Okay. So it's Jill at jkexec.com, E-X-E-C. And if you want to visit Jill's website, once again, very simple, www.jkexec.com. And that also is her Twitter handle, too. And so if you ever want to get in touch with Jill, learn more about hiring process, retainment process, asking the right questions when you're interviewing, so much more, building your LinkedIn resume and that whole category, Jill definitely is one of the best, if not the best person in Rochester to be able to do that. And so I encourage you to reach out to her. Jill, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being a guest on the Avanti Entrepreneur Show, and we hope to have you back soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Of course. And thanks everyone, Avanti Entrepreneur listeners, and always more resources at AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com. So love to have you there. And a little favor, I'm always looking for great guests. So if you know a business owner that should be a guest on my show, please email me at david@davidmamano.com. And I want to make sure that you make it a great day and continue to move forward.
Something new in talk radio. 1310 WOKR.